Hi, my name's Alex Donaldson and I'm here to interview you on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 16th of July 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age and where you're from.
My full name is Jill Francesca Dowse. My age is 44 and I am from Hull. I live in Hull.
And how are you?
How I am? Fine. Yeah, I'll kind of be glad when it's over. Really. I'm hoping that I'm going to get up there and find that I enjoy it. But I am quite seriously scared of heights. And I did at one point think about pulling out. But then I thought, oh, to hell with it, you know. No, exactly, no. I got the finger wagged at me. I thought, no, that's just, you know, it's something unique. Just get up there and do it and see what happens. Yep. So.
And how did you hear about the project?
It was an email. I think it might have been our local sort of city arts email sort of newsletter that they send out. I can't remember though. It was an email.
And what actually inspired you to put yourself in?
Well, I really love Anthony Cornwell's work. That is the only reason. If it had been, I think, anyone else, I wouldn't have given it a second thought. But I really, really like Mr. Gormley's work. And so I thought, well, it would be great to be part of something that he's masterminding. And so I kind of filled the thing in and got my place and was sort of high as a kite for about 5 minutes and then really realised what it meant. And so it's been quite an interesting journey actually from that point to this point. It's been quite fraught actually, personally. But we'll just see what happens.
And how did you initially feel when you found out you had a place?
Well, I mean, like I say, I was sort of, oh my God! And I had a feeling that I would probably get a place, but I would be going on holiday. And in fact, I am going on holiday in about 2 days' time. So I didn't have that excuse for not doing it. But no, I was really, really thrilled. But like I say, you know, when it sort of dawned on me what it actually meant. And I have to say, once I realised that Sky Arts would be doing a live stream, that really freaked me out. I thought anyone anywhere can sort of hone in and see how fucking scared I am of heights and can, you know, can just sort of watch what I'm doing. That hadn't, you know, occurred to me when I sort of filled in the form that really I would be sort of letting myself in for a bit of a Big Brother experience. And I still feel quite ambivalent about that. I mean, I think it's really interesting from all sorts of media and culture and all that, you know, I think it's really interesting. And I think it throws up a whole load of things, this project, about voyeurism and about the pressure that one feels to perform, or how on earth you can be yourself as Anthony seems to want us to sort of be when you're in the middle of a sort of public arena like this, and it's not really an arena that is friendly to performance. And so what you do with yourself up there, how you be yourself. And we all know that when something is looking at something, it changes the essence of that thing, really, as soon as you look at something. So yes, I've had quite a sort of a tricky time with it all, but I find it also fascinating, which is why I haven't totally backed off from it, I think. Yeah.
And what are you actually planning on doing with your time?
Well, I have always wanted to wear a pair of wings in a performance, and I've never yet managed it. And I thought, well, this is an opportunity to do that. And wings, I think, for me, have all sorts of sort of personal and psychical kind of connotations. And so, yeah, so I've got a pair of wings. They're not as big as I would like. I would really like them to be about 30 feet high or something like that. But they're only little because that's all I could get on eBay and I didn't have time to make them myself. So I've got a little pair of wings. And a bag of things that I may or may not use, depending on really how comfortable I feel up there and how comfortable and how watched and how kind of self-conscious and all those kind of things, which is bizarre because I am actually a performer, but this is the thought of doing this takes me totally out of my comfort zone, absolutely, because usually I'm sort of in control of, you know, the environment and I know exactly what's happening and how I'm going to do X, Y and Z, but this is a totally different thing. So I had it in my mind, you know, a sort of a whole monologue thing, and I had quite a good little thing, I think, planned. But I realised it was utterly rubbish for this setting. So, I had just sort of ditched that and thought, well, just try to be there and, you know, have a few things to do if you need to find something else to do. You know, crutch, really. See if you maybe confront the fear. It was the fear of heights actually is the kind of main propeller, I think, for this. So yeah, we shall see how it is.
And are you looking to overcome this fear?
I've been reading up about it actually since getting place. I don't think I will possibly overcome it. There is a method of treatment for acrophobia, which I've found it's called, which is called flooding, which is rather apt as it's absolutely pissing down out there. Which means, you know, you absolutely confront the fear in a major kind of no holds barred sort of way, and that isn't usually recommended. So we'll just see. You know, I'm hopeful that I'll be able to stay up there for an hour. Yeah, and I'll be pleased if I do, and if I feel any better about heights at the end of it, then all well and good. That would be great.
And can I just take you back to the wings? What's the significance?
Oh God. I think it's, well, flight. Without wanting to kind of explain everything away, there are sort of spiritual elements to that, you know, a desire to escape. There's death associations, I think, with angels, angel wings. Also aspirational. So it's very complex, and I remember, I mean, in terms of my own personal connection with flight and wings, I mean, okay, I'm scared of heights, but I remember, I'm not scared of flying in an aeroplane, and I remember as a child having dreams about flying. I don't know if you ever had those, and they were the most wonderful dreams, and I was always so gutted, really, to wake up from them. And I remember, you know, the story that I read when I was probably about, I don't know, 8 or 9, one of the first stories that I remember really, really loving was the tale of Perseus. And Perseus at some point gets a pair of winged sandals and he can fly, and he flies and, you know, slays the Gorgon Medusa. And so again, this sort of flight thing going on. I'm sure there are other things, but I can't recall them in this sort of heat of this moment, I'm afraid. But yes, yeah, so there's sort of, you know, little personal in the first nativity play I was ever in, I was the third angel. I didn't make it to first angel, I think. I probably wasn't tall enough, but I was the third angel, and I think, you know, that first little performing experience, I don't know, maybe it laid a sort of way of the way of like me becoming a performer and deciding, actually, you know, here I am with my pair of wings. This is okay. Maybe that's what I want to do, just revisit my childhood in some bizarre way. No, I don't think that's just it, but, yeah.
So quite strong ties with childhood.
Yeah, I think, yes. And I hadn't really realised that until I began to think about writing the plinth show. which I've now discarded, of course. But I've found out a lot about myself, I think, just through thinking about it and through thinking about what to do up there. And there's also, a plinth is between, up there and down here, and the wings kind of, pigeons, Trafalgar Square, blah, blah. I mean, that's kind of obvious, but... I say it's obvious, but again, my first recollection of being a tourist was in Trafalgar Square, and, of course, in the time when there were pigeons. And there is a very old black and white photo of me and my sister feeding the pigeons, looking half terrified and half exhilarated. Pigeons, flight, fear, it's a heady mixture, yeah.
And do you see this hour as a performance?
It's very difficult for it not to be, I think. I think it is. I wish I don't really want to see it like that at all, but I think because it's being viewed, because of the place that it's in, it is a performance. And I think it would be disingenuous to say that, to claim otherwise, really. And I think that's tricky old area.
And you mentioned the fact that you've had previous experience in performing.
Yeah.
How do you think this is going to translate?
This is the truth. Again, it comes back to the fear of heights. And, this whole thing that I had kind of worked out. And it dawned on me that I might not actually be able to do any of that. And there's problems as well, practical problems with sound and all, just the gubbins that you would need up there in order to sound how you might want to sound. Excuse me. So I found this whole kind of, this tension between myself and my own personal fear and the sort of pressure or desire to perform really difficult to reconcile. And so I thought, well, look, just stick with the fear thing and see what you can do with that, and just try to be there. Just stick it out. I've brought a few things that sort of relate to my feelings about the sort of voyeuristic aspect of this. But also, I hope I don't lose a sense of humour. I mean, I hope I can sort of smile through my fear, because there's also something really funny about it.
So are you doing it today for anyone in particular?
Am I doing it for... No. I had hoped to sort of further democratise my plinth experience. I sent out a whole load of emails asking people to give me some instructions. What do you think I should do on the plinth? And I was thinking that... I was hoping that it might kind of snowball. And I sort of said, please send this email to any other lists, anyone you think might be interested. And the response was so small. I mean, I got some really interesting responses from certain friends, mostly people that I knew apart from one person. Really, really interesting. But what I kind of hoped, I suppose, was that all sorts of people that I didn't know might make suggestions, and then I could read them out, even if I wasn't able to do some of them, maybe do some of them, so that it actually deflected from me, because I do have a horror of being self-indulgent in public performance spaces, and I think it's, And it didn't work. So that was plan B. And now I'm at plan C.
And are you looking to engage with the audience?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know.
And what are you aiming to kind of walk away with after the experience?
I'm not aiming to walk away with anything. My sanity would be good. A smile would be great. A feeling that, you know, that it was a useful experience. I suppose ultimately for me, really, because, yeah, I don't know quite who it's for. It's for the now, whoever is in that now, I suppose. Mm. Yeah.
And what kind of effect do you think it'll have on you as a person?
I haven't a clue. I can't tell you that. I can't possibly predict that.
Yeah. And have you been working quite closely since the beginning of the project? How do you think it's kind of been progressing?
I looked at a few on the first day or two, just to sort of try and try and get a handle on what was going to go on in terms of how people were going to get up and down, whether anyone was freaking out. And I thought, God, they're all looking terribly in control, and like they're enjoying it and just sort of like strolling around the plinth as if it was, you know, a sunny day at the beach. So I did follow it a little bit, and I sort of left it for quite a while because I just looked to see what was going on. Were people staying to watch things? Were people wandering? I was just quite interested by how the public were responding to the person up there and what the person up there was doing or how they were being on that space. And I was really struck by one plinther who said, that he was really busy. This was one of the first couple of days that he was, you know, led a very busy life, and he was just going to stand there and just be for an hour. And I thought, yeah, that sounds good.
Well, thank you so much. You've been great.
Mm.